Court Press.
I don't know anything about Angola, but Angola's in trouble.
Yeah! Yeah! Here's a box! Back out to Anna! History going to bang! Tie game with 5 seconds remaining!
Perfect update! Facial!
Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Evo!
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Full Court Press. I'm your host, Weasley. I'd like to welcome my daughters, Joshua, and my daughter, Christopher. How's it going, guys?
Who's Chris? Great.
My daughter, Chris.
Yeah, who's that?
That was a little homage to the Game of Thrones NBA edition cartoon. I don't know if you saw it, but it's changed my life.
Yeah.
So, of course, all things NBA and nothing to do with the NBL. We're going to be first talking about the lottery. Cleveland.
Can I just say before that how fucking good the NBA is right now? Just
it's killing. Yeah.
How many? We're right back to where we thought we'd be. OKC, Spurs, Miami, Indiana.
Totally.
The game one wasn't a fucking blowout for Indiana. It was great. They're playing okay. I was watching the third quarter the other day and I was just loving it. OKC and the Spurs, OKC were battling. They're trying to out-coach each other. They were down. Westbrook and Durant took over. Just the fucking NBA is so good.
It's glorious.
There's so many subplots.
It's amazing.
Miami Spurs Posse rematch. Miami OKC Posse rematch.
I was screaming at the TV last night.
Indiana might get over the hump, you know, because they've lost to Miami for the last 2 years. So many sick subplots.
Everything's a story.
It's fucking awesome. I think we don't realize how good this time of year is because we're like so immersed in it, but then it's going to be gone in a few weeks and we're going to be just pining for Detroit versus Philly or something, you know, even
we'll
though
be
it'd be gross.
Derrick Rose playing for Team USA.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whether he's ready or not,
just
how he feels.
Relish this moment.
Oh, text God. Messages, have you guys been watching the Summer League?
Yeah.
No,
definitely not.
Oh, man. Did anyone watch the little draft lottery that went up?
Of course.
Yeah.
Can you believe it?
Cleveland?
Again?
A 1% chance and got it done.
Phoenix Suns had half that amount of chance, 0.5, and got the very last pick.
Three times in 10 years?
Three times in 4 years, and four times in 10 years.
Three out of four.
Times.
Yeah,
three out of four.
You used to think Stern was like getting amongst it and had his hands in it, but it just seems like a fate that Cleveland are going to get good picks.
How many chances do you need to build an amazing team?
I don't know.
I can't whiff on it. No more Anthony
Not
Bennett.
Enough. Not enough. Yeah, fully. Right.
We're going to be talking a little bit about some of the coaches and coaching changes that have happened later on in the podcast. But just speaking of Cleveland, Mark Jackson, I just would love to see him taking the coaching job of that wild and rambunctious young team.
Truly.
Just super deep, you know, spiritual speeches and like just rallying together to like be under one vision. I could just see amazing things
preaching.
Happening.
Don't just take him away from the commentary box.
No.
So good he's back.
Anybody enjoying it?
Oh, dude, tell me you guys saw the banter between not Jackson, but Kerr and Marv and Reggie the other night when Reggie was giving it to him that he was going to be a coach and he's got to watch his mouth. Talking about makeup calls during the game.
Oh, yeah. And he was giving him shit about being able to afford stuff
exactly.
As well.
It's so good. Oh, that's so much better than Chris Webber talking smack.
So we are now a little past the second round, yeah? So we're into the Eastern and Western Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm.
But before we blab on, just a small recap on Clippers OKC and Spurs in Portland. First, Clippers OKC, anything just jump out that you want to get off your chest really quickly, gentlemen?
I think game five kind of summed up the whole series for me. Just kind of ugly both ways, you know? Like, I think I was saying to you guys, I hated seeing OKC win the way they did in game five. And I hated to see the Clippers lose like that. It was just kind of gross all around, the refereeing calls. And OKC ended up winning that game, but that was the one where Reggie Jackson, the Matt Barnes thing and the out of bounds, all that.
How do you... I know we've had a little conversation about this, but what do you... Right or, was that the right or wrong call, in your opinion?
I think it was the wrong call.
Really?
It was clearly off Reggie Jackson. And the rules are the rules. You can't call him a foul. So the ball's got to go to the Clippers. I mean, I know morally it's probably the wrong call, Oh, sorry, the right call.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Like, if you're talking morally, but the rules are the rules, and that's what they're going off. So I think the Clippers got stitched.
I relate it to anytime you play ball, and say you're going up for a defensive rebound, someone climbs all over your back, and you knock it out of bounds, and it's off you, but it's your ball. Because that's just how it is.
Yeah, it's like a makeup call.
Yeah, well, you know, there's nothing to make up. It's like, that happened, it came off you, but you had no control over it. So, therefore, it's your ball.
Yeah,
and then no one ever questions it. That's just the way of the world. And I feel like that's what happened there, and it was the right... And you saw it was galvanized because the exact same call happened the very next night in Brooklyn, Miami.
But you don't have a replay at the game with 20,000 people all watching it going, that's off him, and rules are rules, that's off him. It's a gray area now because you're at this point where you're using the replays and you can't call the foul, but everyone sees it's a foul, yet it comes off him. So the right thing to do is to give it to OKC.
Exactly.
But
that's what happened.
But you can't, because you shouldn't, because the NBA have stated these rules and the whole 20,000 people, and they've showed 20 replays of it coming off him. So you can't just ignore that.
I feel you. And I totally agree.
Yeah.
Except the fact of the matter is that it ended up the way it should. And so I don't think you can really argue that.
Well, then change the rule.
Away.
Yeah, that's it. You know,
that's 100%
like,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, they didn't have home court advantage. And they
shouldn't have anything to do with it.
Well, you know, like, not
that blatantly.
Under the carpet calls. Or the other aspect is...
That Chris Paul shut the bed completely, fouling Westbrook.
100%. It didn't go to game 7. Yeah. Like, you know, there's a couple what-ifs. Two games of bad calls, but the Clippers shouldn't really allow it to get to that stage.
No, I agree with you. I'm not talking about one call made the series or anything that. We're trying to recap the series here. But, you know, I just didn't like... I think that summed up the series in a sense where I felt Chris Paul was playing, you know, away from his talents. I said to you as well, it's kind of gross. He's kind of infecting Griffin a little bit with his gamesmanship. And he's not playing to his talents. He's just got all this, like, you know, cattiness, KG kind of shit. Mm. And it's kind of disappointing. And then it brings the rest of the team down. And so I think the Clips went as far as they could playing that style of ball.
Did you feel Blake Griffin was, like, unusually very reserved and quiet to the point where maybe all the coaches were like, don't get a tech and don't, you know, stay cool and stay focused, to the point where he didn't actually get to kind of come out of his shell in those last couple of games because he was so worried about being reserved, not over... reacting to Adams and I think
he's just done. He's been so immune to it now for a couple of seasons that he's trying to not be such a visible douche to the referees.
Yeah,
you know, in the best way that he can, because it's something he definitely has trouble with.
Oh, he's in foul trouble a lot as well. Let's not forget, like, they did a good job of putting him limiting his minutes. Like, he was on the bench heaps that series.
Yeah,
of foul trouble.
He got thrown out. Didn't he get fouled out on a tech or something one time? He told. I remember clearly seeing him to tell a ref to go fuck himself or something like that.
He swears a lot.
Yeah.
Well, what did you like? Okay, so getting out of that series, do you think they deserve to win the series? Pretty much.
You were like, that. It was a crazy comeback. Mm. You can't lose that game if you're the Clippers and you're up 7 with 48 seconds to go.
Okay, so you lost the game 4 like that. Remember, they were down 11. So
yeah,
it was a series that swung around. But I think OKC played the better ball. Although, still delegating a lot to Hero Ball, sort of Westbrook, Durant, that was their undoing in a lot of games. That's probably going to be their undoing against the Spurs, I reckon.
No confident leader at the end of the fourth quarter. Just scrappy and super...
I think there is.
Westbrook definitely is super aggressive.
Yeah.
And he's not going to be afraid to make shit happen. And it's crazy the amount of hate that he... You know, it happens every year. Every time something goes bad with OKC, everyone hates on Russell.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes it's fair enough. But, like, that whole series, he shot a better field goal percentage than Durant against the Clippers.
Yeah.
And he shot 35% on threes. And he won them two games single-handedly.
Like you said, standard Westbrook, you know, default blame. We needed him last year. Needed him last year. He was out there like, oh, we wait till Westbrook comes back, we'll own. It's the whole like 80%, 20%. Like you love 80%, but that 20% just kills you because it's so
he's
like
playing hero ball, like, and jacking up a bunch of gross threes.
Well, the three against where he got fouled by Paul, that's the grossest
this
shot.
Is a terrible
couple times
shot.
Where the ball should have
you
been
live and
in
die
Durant's
by Westbrook
for the fourth quarter, and Westbrook's deciding to go on his own and jack it. Or I don't know how it's decided, but you're like, oh, why does Westbrook have the ball at the last 30 seconds of the game when Durant's right there and can get a shot over anybody at any time? And you see the prayer that Westbrook got the foul on against Chris Paul, and you're like, You're like 3 feet behind the three-pointer. Your whole team's just standing there watching you.
Yeah.
I don't feel any play. There's no, you know, it would have been great to see Doc Rivers take the team a little bit further because of, I just believe in his coaching, and I think he's a great coach. So,
but
and I don't like the Clippers. I hate any team from LA, but still, you know.
I'd say two things on that Westbrook point is that, one, KD enables that a lot of the time by standing in the corner and really not demanding the ball.
Yep.
Not giving you any options. And the other one is they've been to the conference finals 3 out of the last 4 years. And I'll give you a hint as to what happened when they didn't get there.
Yep.
He wasn't there.
Yeah. So you live and die by Westbrook's game. You know it. We're all familiar with it. It's just, it is what it is. And that's what you get with Westbrook. And you'll take it all the time, I reckon.
100%. Yeah. And just to sum up, Steven Adams.
You love him, don't you? Oh, you man. Fucking love him.
I just want to know what it is. Like, there's nothing obvious why he's hated and why he's so has such an impact.
He's a dirty player.
Yeah, but you see he's little smart. Flashes, but I want to see, like, what he's saying to them.
I think
maybe he's
be
like,
courtside to see everything that's going on.
Totally.
But
I would love to.
I mean, the Grizzly game, you know, no Zach Randolph because he punched him. The whole season, I've been watching him get either elbowed or elbow somebody or something crazy going on. But for a 20-year-old, you know, rookie to come out and play like that and not give a fuck about any of those guys, it's just weird. It freaks me out. I don't remember ever seeing something like that.
What do you think they should do? Do you think for the Spurs series then, now Ibaka's out, should they play? He's obviously going to play more minutes.
Well, should we quickly talk about the Spurs and OKC before we?
Do you just while we're bailing on the Clippers? Does anyone think that Darren Collison looks exactly like the guy from Cool Runnings, Junior Murray?
Oh, the little dude. Yeah. That's pretty good.
Every time I see him, feel the rhythm. He kills it.
That's awesome.
Eric Bane versus Steven Adams.
Aaron
game
Baines.
One. Aaron Baines. Sorry, Aaron Baines versus Steven Adams. Game one. Let's start from the very bottom and work our way up to the big boys, shall we?
Well, no. What do you think about the Ibaka thing? That's the biggest call of the series.
Every matchup was different. The Spurs looked like big guys for once, and I haven't seen that in a long time.
Can OKC beat the Spurs without Ibaka?
No. Not a chance in hell.
Yeah. Should Scott Brooks start Adams instead of Collison?
Twin Towers, Perkins and Adams.
I mean, what do you got to lose at this stage?
Well, that's the thing. I think Adams was so dominant when he played the Clips, and then they brought Aaron Baines in, and it changed everything. For me, like, mentally, when I was watching the game, I was like, now all of a sudden it's like Australia versus New Zealand, and wait a minute, Australia usually beats down
what, just
New
a micro
Zealand.
Subplot?
And it looked totally different. Aaron, Steven Adams looked so massive before, and then when they brought Baines in, it was like, all right, we'll just match you with another ridiculously unintelligent big guy that'll just smash into you. It was like, it changed everything for me.
Baines is a fucking tree trunk. He's dense.
And he's totally pumped to be there.
Yeah.
And he's will do whatever you ask him to do. And I feel like the Grizzlies and the Clippers all had this Adams, like, you know, 20-year-old guy bugging him, and then all of a sudden
Deacon Adams, like, swung any of these series or anything
no
like
way.
That.
Definitely not. Yeah. But, like, you're always going to see somebody off your bench that's going to surprise you, or who it's not so much, you know, what LeBron's going to do. It's Haslam hitting that, you know, weird jumper, you know, like, three shots in a row.
I think
that changes everything. And I feel like defensively, Blake Griffin didn't like that. He didn't like playing them, and it didn't work when that Baines guy was on, and I just thought it was funny. And Tim Duncan was free to roam around and do whatever the hell he wanted. And
but it's still like 10 minutes a game. It's not playing any more than that.
Yeah. I loved it. All right, let's work our way up then.
I think the Spurs are going to crush OKC, really. I think Durant and Westbrook are going to carry them as far as they can, but as soon as they get tired, they're going to be in a hell of a lot of trouble. I think also on defense, they've got Durant matching up with Duncan a little bit, and he's got to play splitter a little bit, and that's going to, you know, he doesn't have the stamina to same with Westbrook on Parker. I think they're going to try and hide him, but they can't really. They're just going to run him ragged. They came back from 16 down at one stage in the first. Did you notice that? I thought that was pretty cool. But, you know, then they just looked gassed by the end, by the fourth, and they had nothing. And then they put another pretty much, it was tied
midway through the third or so, and then the Spurs just crushed him at the end. But I think that's just going to be the story of the series.
Durant was playing center for stretches as well, which is always... And it started looking really good early on, and then all of a sudden, they just couldn't handle him inside.
It's just going to be intensity. Like, Durant's going to score, and he's going to go on mad tears to a point. So will Westbrook, but they can't carry the whole team for the whole series, I don't think, without guys stepping up. And who's going to step up for OKC other than... these two. I don't see it going against the Spurs
ISO ball
defense.
Versus team.
Yeah,
team
the Spurs, you forget, they're playing the Spurs. Like, they're too disciplined to make mistakes.
And we saw that when they played
games.
Portland and just destroyed them against
a young, immature team.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's just not enough scoring. Mm. You know, you're saying, like, Adams, guys like that can come in and give you a good 15, 20 minutes, but defensively, mostly. Same with Cephalosius, same with Collison, really.
Yeah.
None of those guys are going to really threat to give you 15 points.
And they can't stretch the floor like Ibaka does. He's got a pretty good mid-range to long-range jumper, and when he steps out, the lanes open up.
Yeah, he's
they're not going to get that.
Would you like to share a quick fact?
He's the best mid-range shooter in the whole league.
Unbelievable.
I know. I didn't believe it either.
Over Aldridge.
Yeah, percentage-wise.
Okay.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah. You see him hit a lot of step-back jumpers off KD and Westbrook drives. That's not going to be there for, like, Collison.
Well,
no,
it's awesome
Adams
because
have a jumper. No.
Aldridge gets double-teamed and Ibaka doesn't because he can't.
Anyway, so I think it's a wrap.
Guys, I'm sorry. I got to stop us for just a second. It's time for my new segment, Stupid Update.
So it's just
going to happen randomly.
Oh, my God.
I'm just going to throw it at you, and I'm just going to hit you with a stupid update, and we'll move on, okay? I'm sorry, but Dwight Howard was spotted in Manly's, a.k.a. Mantown, 3 days ago, wearing a backpack and the tightest shirt ever.
Oh, wasn't he stand-up paddling?
Deluxe.
What a sight to see down at Mantown.
We get a few NBA players. Last year, we had Kobe and... well, who else was here for Hillsong? Tyson Chandler, was it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right, and Bear Grylls.
Yeah.
D. Wade was here. 2 years ago, maybe?
Yeah, he caused quite a ruckus, didn't
instead
he?
Of D. Rose for some shooting just before he bailed on the...
Yeah,
on
I remember
the
people were
added
us.
Odom was here a couple of years back. Anyway. What do you think? It looked like almost he was kind of by himself going walkabout. Like,
yeah, he's got no mates.
Wonder why he came... Well, yeah. Why do you think he came to Australia?
Did you look up his Twitter feed? He would have been posting shit.
Well, Hakeem was like, busy or something, probably.
Houston's close to San Antonio. Maybe he talked to Patty one day and was like, bro, you got to get out of here.
Yeah.
The walkabout. He gave him like maybe 7 or 8 Bill Hicks CDs on iTunes and was like, just go to Australia, man. Just
have it.
Go to the
I would have
desert.
Loved to see 7-foot black dude paddleboarding at Manly. Would have been like, talk about not wanting to be incognito.
I can't believe we didn't see him.
Did anyone tell him
from here?
It's fucking winter. What's he thinking?
Oh, it's been glorious weather lately. What are you talking about?
Yeah, fair enough. I'm not getting in the
sorry,
way.
Sorry about my stupid update. All right, let's move on. Kevin Durant's MVP speech was last week.
You beauty.
It was a very emotional... three-part series.
You're the real MVP.
That touched a lot of people, you know. Bag, you got anything you want to mention on this?
Just that I thought it was pretty interesting that he's... Before I saw it, I was like, what's he going to say about Hasheem Thabeet? What has Hasheem given to him that he's going to be able to relate? And he was the first person in the speech, right? And he's like, sometimes I just walk in and Hasheem's wearing some crazy shorts or something. And that's great. And then he says more about guys you've never even heard of, like Andre Roberson is a rookie, didn't even play this year. He's like, oh, Andre, man, he's so inspiring, all this stuff. It's clear to see that Thabeet is an epic fuck up.
Yeah, totally.
That's what I got from it.
What
the
did
most.
He say to Butler that made Butler cry?
You're the real MVP.
I just think it's interesting. Yeah, we were saying he's been there for half a season.
I don't know why everyone's so surprised. Like they've been doing an NBA commercial of him saying how tough it was and his mum in the crowd and shit. You remember that?
Yeah.
Like, it's to be expected.
He should have been telling Butler not to dial in long distance. Because that's dog shit.
Yeah, that's weak.
That's terrible.
I thought that was like, call me.
No, long distance.
Dial long distance.
It's always after three balls.
Yeah, cool.
So between that and Westbrook's finger pistols, they definitely have the most shite shot celebrations.
It's definitely rocked the NBA nation, the speech. I don't think there's a single person in the NBA that disapproves of that speech.
I don't disapprove of it. I just think it's gotten more hype than it really deserves. Mm.
Jalen Rose said after the speech he thinks they're going
to
win the title,
Barkley. Yeah. Tripping.
Absolutely tripping.
They gave out, you know, six-man award, Jamal Crawford. They went rookie of the year, Michael Carter-Williams, Mr. Defense, Noah. We're going to be doing our own
Full Court Press Awards in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm psyched.
So get pumped about that.
What about Most Improved?
Yeah. Most Improved?
Was it Lance?
It was. He was second. It was
Gorgon Dragic.
Yeah. Gorgon.
Gorgon Dragic.
You're right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Gorgon.
Cool. It's great for him. I'm stoked for him.
Yeah.
He deserved it all the way.
Yep.
Deserved it probably more than Lance Stephenson, I think, because Stephenson had a pretty good playoffs last year. It wasn't a big surprise.
Dragic has played like that when he's been able to be on the floor.
Yeah, it's true. Maybe it was super close to the voting.
I don't know. There was arguments that Stephenson wasn't an all-star, not most improved. So
you could give it to both of them.
I think that's what he's
going
after.
Yeah, I'm happy with the one, too.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of that.
And Pop for Coach of the Year.
It definitely wasn't Harrison Barnes, that's for sure.
It's a fucking ghost town.
I think it's time for... Weird,
space distorted thing.
Word saying hypothetical. This is a new segment we've started called Hypotheticals, where we take a hypothetical situation related to basketball
and sexual intercourse, mostly.
We rotate, and somebody's going to answer the question.
I'm going to be better next time. Sorry about last week.
Dude, Stephen Curry's mom is hot.
She is hot, but you didn't know her.
Totally. Yeah. So I'm going to hit you with my hypothetical. It's not short, so if you guys could just maybe close your eyes while I'm telling you the story. I just want you to think about this. This one's called the decision hypothetical. Okay. So you guys are Spanish, okay? You're one of the top two players in the Spanish league, a.k.a. the ACB. You're 35 years old. You're arguably the best European player that has never played in the NBA. You're making a decent coin. You've represented your country four different times for the Olympics. You're the man. Basically, people all over Europe love you.
This feels like a Who Am I from Sale of the Century or something. I'm going to like buzz in any minute.
Tons of friends. You're highly respected by many, many international players. In fact, recently you were best man at Marc Gasol's wedding, okay? A fellow Spaniard.
Am I Pau Gasol?
You know, you've even got a small cameo in the highly anticipated movie District 10, Prawn Aliens versus Spain. And this is just the beginning, okay? So you're an older veteran. People in Europe love you. And a major reason why they love you is because you haven't sold out and gone to the NBA. You know, you've stayed in Spain. Just on a social, you know, you're signing autographs. And I'm not talking about, like, fat tourists lost, you know, looking for the Da Vinci Code. You're, you know... Tits, ass, women love you. You have a beautiful supermodel girlfriend who is a swinger, and her only swinger rule is you can sleep with other people. I just can't. Okay? Beautiful women, you know, wanting to sleep with you. You're the man. You've got some great sponsors. Spanish sponsors included Zara Clothing and my favorite beer, Spanish beer, the Dam Estrella. And then suddenly, October 1st, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. You get a phone call from Phil Jackson, the most successful NBA coach of all time. He tells you Jerry Sloan is the new coach of the Knicks, and he wants you to run the second unit. They've gotten rid of Amari Stoudemire, and LeBron's coming over with Carmelo in 2015. You're only going to get paid $500K for 2 years, okay? You lose all your sponsorships, and you only get Reebok back. All of Europe now hates you. They're burning your uniform in the streets. They hate you to the point where you won't be able to comfortably go back to your home for 10 years. Now, previously, you were in Nadal's box during the Spanish Open. You know, he's sitting courtside to your games.
Who am I?
And then suddenly, if you leave, Nadal is going to release this...
You're complex, Chris.
if you leave, Nadal releases a statement like... You know, this is not the warrior that we once knew and loved. This is a different man. Do you sell out and play in the biggest stadium, in the biggest league, run the second unit with the best coach of all time and a great Utah coach with two of arguably the best players in modern time? Or do you stay in Europe with your mad sponsors, rad chicks, loved by all, and a European hero?
Am I playing?
Yeah.
Okay. Because you said run the second unit.
You're the second team.
I'm 35.
You're starting point guard for the second team. You're basically Pregioni.
Sure.
You know, you're a mixture of like when LeBron left Cleveland to Pregioni, a 35-year-old rookie. people in the NBA aren't going to respect you. Your destiny isn't decided. We can't tell you what's going to happen in those 2 years.
Basically, I'm all in for a ring, coattails, or I'm, you know, pimping it up in the med, eating olives and fucking cheese.
Which could be related to maybe...
Yeah, I'll probably stay in Europe.
Staying in Europe?
Yeah, I think so. What have I got left to prove in America? I'm 35. If I haven't done it by now, I'm fucking not really going to do it myself. I'm going to have to ride coattails. So,
yeah, cool.
No, I'm just going to stay there.
Not going to play in the NBA.
Tap senoritas and fucking, you know, be a god. And
yeah,
I'm staying in Spain, I reckon.
Straight up, if we're just going to base it in a little bit of realism, I have to get paid at least $500,000 for my age being in the minimum. So
it's a mil.
So it's a little bit more money. I'd like to know the strength of the euro against the US dollar before I make my decision also. That'd be interesting. But for me, fuck yeah, I'm up for a new experience. I'm going to take it. Fuck Spain. Fuck Nadal. Whatever. He'll be a has-been in 2 years anyway. I don't care about that. He cares what
Nadal.
The tennis world
you're
thinks.
You're not fucking him. You're
that
fucking
was a huge part
model.
Of the story. I'm gonna.
You just like Nadal because of his chest, don't you? Oh, he's always
I'm
in here.
I'm taking my fucking hepatitis skank from Europe, leaving it there, trying on some of this American strange puss. I'll be into it. A little taste of what's on the other side.
Okay.
All day, a couple of years,
so
mates of the Bronx.
You're giving up like premium tickets to any soccer, Spanish league game.
Can we call it football, please?
Football.
Well, I'll go watch some NFL in the States. Yay, America, hot dogs, freedom, whatever, I'm there.
Freedom. I like it. All right. Well, that's the first hypothetical. It's a bit intense. I hope it was what you wanted, but that's what I came up with. The next one's a little bit different. All right. Enough of that. Coaches of the NBA, everyone's fired. What's been going on? Talk to me, Rabbit.
Oh, well, you're talking about Jackson fired, obviously. You're talking about Van Gundy.
Yep.
I heard a snippet somewhere that over the last sort of 5 years, there's been at least half the NBA teams have new owners.
Oh, really?
Something like that, yeah.
Coaches or owners?
Owners.
Wow.
The coach of the Heat is now the longest
tenured coach in the East.
Yeah.
But six NBA years. Owners. Anyway, there's been a plethora of new NBA owners, right? And I think they're probably a little bit more business savvy. They probably want results quicker. So I think in the NBA at the moment, there's no time to rest. There's no loyalty. There's no longevity with a coach. I think they just want results. Bang, bang. You saw it with Golden State. You've seen it with Cleveland to a point. They fired Mike Brown twice in like 3 years.
Isn't Mike Brown getting paid by two teams right now?
Yeah. They signed
the Lakers
him,
and Cleveland.
Cleveland signed him again for like 5 years and fired him after the first year again.
Isn't that why it's a bit of a head scratcher that Steve Kerr got 5 years?
It's weird. Well, see if he lasts 5 years. They don't care. They'll pay him out.
I don't think he'll last 5 years.
I think that's the only reason he took the gig. 5 years, guaranteed money. What is it, 25 mil or something?
Yeah.
Well, he said his family's a big part of that. Now that his kids are all older, he can kind of focus on that.
It was so surprising because you think he'd take the gig in in New York.
Yeah.
Like, well, you don't have to think about it.
They lowballed him on the offer in the 11th hour.
I think I was going to say it's obviously just come down to money because think about it. If you're in New York, all you have to do is win 40 games minimum and you're a hero.
No, I don't think so.
I think
hear me out. Last year's
you've got Phil Jackson to fall back on. Even if you win 40 games in the East, you're probably making the playoffs. In the West, you're going to get crucified because all the players at Golden State loved Mark Jackson. Best season in the last 10 years, at least.
Second best.
But,
Sorry.
Steve Kerr's been a big part of selecting players for the Suns and he knows a lot of the back end stuff and he might have a little bit of an idea of
selecting Shaq for the Suns. That went well.
So he wants a challenge and he wants to embrace this role because I feel like the easy money and the easy ride is in New York for sure. I mean, if all goes to hell, you just give Phil a call and go, dude, I don't know what to do.
But the lights are a bit brighter in NYC. It's a concrete jungle where dreams are made of.
You're going to get scrutinized by the media more there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but fuck it. Just fall back on Phil. I think you've got so much history and pedigree there that one's going to hate on you if it's your first year and you're like, I'm just deferring to Phil a lot.
Well, they did with Spoelstra and Stan Van Gundy when Pat Riley was in the front office in Miami.
Do you think there's a few New York...
Pat Riley came and coached and got rid of Stan.
Do you think there's a few New York Knicks fans that maybe don't like Kerr since, say, 91?
because well, because of his just Chicago of days.
Chicago vibe, you know?
How like, can you he wasn't like there in Kerr. He wasn't he's there in 91. He's a fucking Southern gentleman.
90, you're talking about 96, 97, 98.
My bad. Sorry. Yeah, that's apologies. Okay. He was for Cleveland before that.
Sure.
Yeah, like a little bit of that Chicago 94, 95.
No, you got to love him.
You got to love Kerr.
Yeah.
He's impossible to hate.
It was surprising. I'm stoked because I fucking love him too, but I don't see him lasting 5 years at Golden State. Well, and I don't know what he can do to turn it around or see, even turn it around. Like, why did they fire Jackson in the first place? It's a personality thing with the owner.
He was really good with the team and the players, but the front office stuff, the paperwork. Apparently, he's kind of like a cop that, you know, he just wants to be on the streets and, you know, do stuff, but he doesn't want to fill out any of the paperwork or do any of the logistical stuff.
He created a
and that's
versus,
half the battle.
Us versus them mentality with the players versus the organization, I heard. And
I know you're all playing for me. I heard that you're playing for me.
Hand down, man down.
It's did so you, great.
I fucking sent it to you the other night.
It's did glorious.
The first time he dropped it.
Yeah, I heard so a good, mama. So good. Yeah, one of those
yeah,
as well.
I did.
Well, let's hope he doesn't get hired for a very long time.
What about Pistons and getting Van Gundy?
I love it.
Yeah.
His speech, the conference press conference speech,
yeah.
Talking about how he's going to revamp the whole image, you know, different mentality, different thinking mentality with the, you know, front office. And
sure.
It was very inspirational. It sounded very serious, and he seems like he's got a lot of energy.
I just don't know if there's a team I'd like to coach less outside of maybe Sacramento than Detroit.
You Milwaukee, Utah, Charlotte.
At least they got bright they got futures, bro. Picks. You got a lot of Brandon Jennings and Josh Smith to deal with in the next few years for them.
I don't know. I think it can't get any worse for them. I mean, it's a good get for Detroit. Whether or not there's too much pressure on Van Gundy and whether he succeeds or not, it's another story.
With those names, though, don't you think they underachieved this year?
Oh, 100%.
So even if he does a little bit better next year.
But they underachieved because the construction of the team isn't good.
They've got a very up-and-coming big center that could, you know, in the next couple of years be
well, yeah,
a game-changer.
Drummond?
Yeah, he's throwing up sort of a...
Yeah, but are they going to sign him? Isn't he a free agent?
Nah, he's still got another year. And
who's
then
free agent at Detroit?
Monroe,
sorry.
Dr. Marvin.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I don't know, man. I really like Stan Van Gundy. I thought he did fucking great at Orlando, and I think he got kind of hosed out there by Dwighty and the management. They all kind of turned their back on him.
What do you think of Dr. J's shock look during the draft lottery that they got third, not first? Anybody?
What did you think about the owner of the Bucks' daughter?
Oh,
and
shit.
The owner of the Kings' daughter.
Looks a little bit like Sasha Baron Cohen's wife, that redhead little minx.
Well, Isla Fisher. Yeah. She's not hot.
Really?
What?
No, nah, dude. Oh,
gettable.
No.
Oh, she's not hot.
Achievable.
Beautiful. Nah. Did you see it? Stunning.
No, I missed it all.
She was standing there, and after they didn't get the first pick, she looks at her dad and goes,
something's going wrong for me in my life.
Sorry, I wasn't better luck for you.
Is that
your
not
dad?
A silver spoon? Oh, heavy. Yeah. Missed it.
Oh, all right. So let's head over to the Eastern Conference, all right? Second round recap. All right. So we had the Wizards and the Pacers. The Wizards and the Pacers. And John Wall, looking like he's from 1976, driving a T-Bird down the streets of Milwaukee. I don't know. It just looks for like he's from the 70s. Very exciting series. So much energy. The Wizards reaching heights. You know, the Polish Hammer, Nene playing huge, especially off their previous battle. What do you think? Talk to me.
I thought I had Washington winning the series at the start of the series. Yeah. And after game one, which they won on the road in Indiana, I was like, I'm a genius.
Yeah.
This looks great. And then they really beat themselves a couple of games. They lost by 20 at home, scoring 65 or something crazy. And they had a lot of opportunities to win game six also.
Game four, they were up 11 or so. Or yeah. Was it 17 or something? I think that series was... the score didn't really reflect the series because Washington were a bucket here, a foul call there, away from having it at 2-2, even 3-2 at one stage. You know, they could have had it. You know, they jacked a couple of threes in that game two where they could have been up 2-0 on the road.
Yeah.
And they didn't. But
Wall missed some pivotal ones that he probably shouldn't have taken.
Yeah.
He shot less than 20%
I think they missed their chance to put Indiana away. You know, they couldn't close at some point. So... credit to Indiana, though. I said, no, don't snooze on them. I reckon they manned up when they had to. I think the whole thing, and it's everyone knows it, everyone's saying it, but the whole thing is Roy Hibbert. When he played well, They won. When he played shit, they didn't. In the games they won, he averaged 18. In the games they lost, he had 3 points.
You can't let Gortat drop
30 on you. You know, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
But the matchups, Paul George is going to get his. D. West is going to get his. And D. West did.
D. West was a monster.
Yeah. And, you know, if you put Hibbert on top of that, they win. If not, it's pretty like clear that they suck. I don't see... It's pretty black and white to me.
100%.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's averaging 9 points and 5 rebounds for the playoffs. Not good enough.
Not all-star
and
level.
And that's exactly what we were saying about the game where Gortat shot like 108% or something. Yeah. It was just like everything was going in.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got to pride yourself on being able to stop guys like that if you want to tout yourself as the defensive player of the year at the start of the season.
Yeah.
I think he's a massive myth.
Yeah.
Not a single shot I've seen him take where I'm like, that looks pretty.
Yeah. I don't want him to be like the fucking centerpiece of the whole thing. Like, and he shouldn't be with Indiana. I mean... You see when Indiana are up against it, they go to West, they go to George,
yep.
And Lance Stephenson is coming on like a demon.
Mm.
I think he's going to give Wade a whole heap of trouble like he did in Game 1 and Game 2.
Mm.
I think LeBron and D. Wade are obviously going to carry the load, and they did in Game 2 when they had to. It was cool to see them stepping up. But, you know, they always give Miami trouble, Indiana, and they can't play small against Indiana.
That's
Miami.
Because this team was built to beat
gives them
Miami.
Trouble.
And Bosch needs to like gently remove his tampon string and start playing.
Because he shouldn't be the last, you know, the last funnel through defense, and he is. He's playing center, and it's just like he's a power forward or small forward.
But he has to be with that lineup. What makes Miami successful is the way they play with only one big, pretty much, which is Bosch. So he has to be. But
he does a
LeBron
decent job of contesting and blocking shots as
does
well.
LeBron.
Yeah, true.
So they can, but I just think Bosch can't handle D. West. He might be able to handle Hibbert at times, but who does that leave on West? Like, you're not going to put LeBron there.
I just don't think
it's
fair that Chris Bosch has to guard David West.
Who's going to guard West?
Yeah, but it's not fair for West to have to try and guard him out on the perimeter as well. Mm. That's why it goes both ways. But yeah. I agree with you. They have trouble hanging with two
bigs. Biggest guy is Haslam, and he's 6'9".
Oh, Birdman.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's the thing.
Man.
It's going to be interesting because Miami going to be forced to play two bigs at big stretches of the game, and that plays into Indiana's hands.
Well, you saw at the end of Game 2 last night, they closed with Birdman and Norris Cole, where they traditionally close with Ray Ray.
Yep.
And that was pretty telling, you know, and it worked.
Yeah.
It worked a treat.
It's just good that these guys are going to battle each other now, and it's very even, and the shit we're talking about is going to go... You know,
it's
over 6-7 games. I'm just so stoked Indiana haven't laid down and been bitches.
Totally.
It's great.
Totally.
And they're more than capable of getting a game in Miami, for sure.
Well, let's go fearless predictions. Hattie, it's 1-1 now going into Game 3.
I think it's
going
to go 1-1 again. Just straight back.
Miami can probably... I still think Miami will probably take it.
Both.
Yeah, I think so. I think they haven't really turned it on yet, and they're pretty insane at home. Miami are at a point now where they can beat any team on any court. So, at home with India, I'd love to see it go 7, but I really think Miami can win these next two, and then it's pretty much maybe in 6, Indiana get one more at home. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if this home court thing that Indiana have, and it'll go to 7, and we're gonna win home court game 7. I think Miami will put it away before then. To be honest,
I felt bad when we were talking about the uniforms, and we had the nickname segment. And we were bagging all the nicknames and saying how shit they were, and I felt like Coltrane was a really good nickname, and I just want to bring that up right now.
It was the only real good nickname
out of that whole thing. And speaking of Brooklyn versus Heat. The calls in Game 1 versus the Pacers and the Heat were... Hibbert got a lot of calls down low. And there were a couple crucial calls, I think, again, that Joe Johnson wasn't getting, that LeBron was getting, that kind of changed the whole thing, that you could see it on Jason Kidd's face. You can't... It's, you know, what are you going to do about it?
Mm.
but, yeah, I'm going to go overall 1-1 in the series versus Pacers and in the Heat. What do you think, Bagman?
What do you mean 1-1?
Yeah.
In Miami's home.
All right.
Pacers are going to win one. They're going to steal one.
So 2-0 and then back to Indiana.
It's going to go to a game 7.
It may well.
It's going to a game 7.
Well, I think they showed that everyone, the Pacers, that all five of the starters have to contribute for them to win.
Your mate George Hill going double digits in both games.
Yeah, I know.
I was telling Wes the other day, I was like, oh, going to give it to Bag about that one.
Yeah, well, all he's doing is shooting open threes.
Yeah, but he's getting
him. He's knocking him down. Yeah, fair play. And to be fair, Hibbert played really well. He's played pretty well in both games, actually, but he was particularly good in game one.
So it's going to come down to at least all five of Indiana's starters having good games every game versus Miami, you know, only needing, I feel, Wade and LeBron to play well every game, and they only need someone else to step up, hit some, whether it's Ray, whether it's Birdman, whether it's Norris Cole, who played fucking great.
How about Bosch?
Well, I just don't see him playing. He never plays well against Indiana. Yeah. He sucks against Indiana. He can't handle... Maybe it's when he got hurt years ago and he's rattled from it, but he's been like a myth against Indiana over the last 2-3 years. I don't count him as a factor at all in this series. I think Indiana can Miami can probably get away with him not being a factor as well and still win.
Mm. Bag, what do you think Lopez would say in a time like this?
Pretty indescribable, you know? The feeling is priceless.
Okay. Cool.
Subtle. That was great.
Hey, sorry, I just got to stop again. It's time for Stupid Update.
Oh!
This is my last one. I'm sorry. I know it's killing you. But this one's for...
I love a Stupid Update.
Yeah.
And we're not doing Douche of the Month this time because we don't got nothing.
No, it's been all positive. It's been all great.
Mm. Rabbit, just a quick Stupid Update. Sorry. Mark Cuban hired a former FBI agent to investigate league referees after the 2006 finals because Dwayne Wade got a lot of calls.
It's a very Cuban thing.
Did you know that?
I did know that, yeah.
Fuck.
Pretty crazy.
I had one on you.
Sound like Cuban's paranoid.
Yeah, super paranoid.
Sounds like somebody doesn't like losing.
After one of the games, he was on the court, like, just giving Stern, like, evil eye and sort of threatening him and saying... He got fined, didn't he, during that whole series a couple of times?
Because he was making statements about the NBA. But
yeah,
basically, I read the whole article, and it was really interesting. It basically said Mark Cuban hired a professional investigator to investigate a... problem. It was amazing.
Yeah,
I should have read it.
And then he get warned off? He got warned off for doing it, and he said, "Don't take this further, otherwise, it'll be the end of your ownership or something like that."
Yeah, you
pretty
can't
crazy.
You can't attack the golden egg.
Not at all.
That's not what
and it was
about.
Kind of the whole like this is biting the hand that feeds you thing. So, yeah, I don't know, but it's very Cuban-esque. It's fucking great.
That's what he loves.
Yeah,
that's how he rolls.
Yeah, sick.
It's the late hours of the night, and I'm going to hit you with my final hypothetical, okay?
Great. I'm excited.
So just a straight-up warning. We'll probably cut this hypothetical because it's stupid. And, you know, if there's any children or any, like, people who are religious, it's probably not a good time for you.
Is there going to be chapters? Like, you're going to tell us Act 1, what's going on in this hypothetical?
It's not short, I'll tell you that right now.
That's surprising.
So this is called the nasty hypothetical. That's what I called it. Okay, so it's Game 7 of the NBA Finals. Okay?
Set the scene, Wesley.
And you've been selected to participate in the halftime show, okay? The halftime show isn't televised, and it's actually to celebrate the German Scheiser Festival that happens once every 5 years in Germany, in Berlin, that doesn't exist. But you've been selected out of an array of people who signed up for this mailing list that you'd have to be a crazy motherfucker to do it, and you got selected, and you can win $10 million and NBA courtside seats for the rest of your life if you do one of the two options.
Anything.
So you're like, all right, cool. They put you up there, and the only people that are watching it, because everyone's watching Jalen Rose and them do their halftime show and trying to understand what Shaq's saying because he speaks so quietly, and they wheel out this giant clear bathtub to the middle of the court, and it's got like a head brace, and it's got like a cog on the front of the tub, and it opens the mouth. And so option one is Shaquille O'Neal has been eating nothing but burritos and nachos for 3 days straight.
Can be like that jackass thing.
So it's a normal 3 days.
And
for
I'm
Shaq.
Just going to remind you, he weighs 147 kilos.
Nolly.
And so you have to stay there. After he's taken about 12 gastro tablets with your mouth open,
dude,
and just rah, sloppy shit all over your face.
For $10 million.
And courtside seat for the rest of your life. Or, option two, they wheel out Dennis Rodman, Mr. Defense, Mr. Hustle, Mr. Heroin.
I don't want AIDS. Yeah.
He slept with over 2,000 women, ladies. And basically what
the other option is he pulls down his pants and his ball sack just drops straight to the ground and he has to drag it across your forehead and then into the mouth. And then after it travels past, he turns around after eating nothing but asparagus for 3 days and just urinates warm, bright yellow urine all over your mouth. Which one are you going for?
Shaq's poo or Dennis Rodman's urine?
And ball sack.
I'd do either for 10 and million in courtside seats for
life.
Yeah,
but you got to do one. Which
Rodman,
one are you choosing?
Rodman, I don't want to get
10 million courtside seats. You become a YouTube sensation. You make an extra 500K from that just from ads.
Shaq's probably going
to... Tosh.0 asked you to come on his show to do a recap. You know, this is big.
It's not being filmed, you said.
It is secretly. This all happens through the phones, man.
And
the phones.
And you said, but during halftime, but not no one's watching it, you said?
Only the people in the court are. So it's not televised.
It's not,
but
it's
everyone's
being recorded.
Got,
so
everyone's watching it, and everyone's got a phone, and
right.
Everyone's like, dude, this guy's going to get Shaq to shit on him, and then it just goes viral.
I'd do it, and then I'd offer Shaq.
Do what?
Either, fuck it. But then I'd offer Shaq or Rodman another $1 million back if I could shit back on them.
$1 million to Shaq? He owns the Sacramento Kings and 90 gyms
in
Florida. What does he care about?
You know what I'm saying? Just like, then it wouldn't be as bad.
I don't think any of them are going to go for that. Maybe Dennis.
Yeah.
After
kind
a shitload of peyote or some sort of like.
I don't know. It's pretty fucking gross.
I'd probably put it to Twitter and put it out to the crowd and go... # Shaq shit, # Rodman urine. See which one
be
was the more popular.
Worldwide trending.
And then I'd do the opposite of that just to fucking piss everyone off.
Yes.
Whatever.
Sorry about that hypothetical.
I'm doing whatever for 10 million and the fucking...
In all honesty, urine.
Yeah, totally.
Definitely urine.
And the ball sack in the mouth.
Yeah, that's all
fine.
Part
that's
and parcel.
Fine.
That's no problem. Shaq could poo out my entire body weight in poo.
Yeah, it'd be like Jurassic Park when he puts his hands into the Tyrannosaurus Rex. I don't know. That's what I came up with. What do you want from me? Like, fuck, I'm sorry. It's weird. I had a Destiny one and a weird fetishy one.
I wish you put
bad.
More thought into it.
I don't feel too bad about mine now last week.
God damn it.
That's so
I don't know why Doris Handjob is the greatest thing that's ever been thought of, and I spent hours on that.
I would probably get a handjob in mid-court by Doris Burke for 10 million.
What about 10 grand?
I'd give her a handjob for that one.
I just probably, if it entailed jizzing, it probably wouldn't happen. That's all. So, anyway.
I don't know. It depends what center court you're on. You're like, it's the garden.
If I could look at Steph Curry's mum, like, over there, then it would probably be okay.
She loves performing, yeah.
Well, I think that about wraps it up, gentlemen, unless you guys got anything else to say.
Not really. I'm looking forward to talking about Kevin Love constantly over the next 6 months. That's going to be fun. Probably 12 months.
Yeah. I'm just pretty excited for
where
the
do you think he's going to go just really
two
quickly?
Weeks.
If you're just going to throw it out. Kevin Love's
Chicago.
Going to
Chicago.
Chicago. They don't really have anything for him. I reckon Golden State.
What are you talking about?
Just
they don't
get
have
rid
anything
of David Lee.
To trade for him.
He's Kevin Love's a free agent.
After next year.
Oh, sorry.
The Timberwolves got to get something back.
Oh, yeah,
Chicago, so they give him Boozer.
Oh, it just depends how much one team knee-jerks and offers the fucking world for him.
Yeah.
Really. We've seen it before. A shitload of first-round picks and, like, their biggest asset. It'll happen. Teams will overreact and it'll happen.
They're going to try and Carmelo... Do a repeat of that, like Denver did. Get a big swag of good young players.
Or
but
the Dwight Howard
would...
debacle. Something like that.
I don't think it'll really happen again. I don't see people giving up too much for K-Love. I don't think they're going to let him hold him to ransom.
So just spit out something, just really quickly. Where is he going?
Chicago, like I said.
Chicago.
Pretty indescribable, you know? The feeling is priceless.
You got? Golden State?
Yeah, Golden State. I think they just got enough to give back.
What do they have to do to...
What? Well, you know, David Lee, Harrison Barnes, Iggy, if it's
cool.
necessary.
Yeah, but then
I'm gonna
you
go.
Just
I'm gonna
you got
go.
No picks. They've traded all their picks.
Sometimes you don't have a choice. I'm going to go with New York just to be weird. Or dreaming. That's all for the Full Court Press podcast. Where can you see us on the Facebook, on the iTunes?
Facebook.com/FCP podcast.
Boom.
We put a nice gallery of the worst ever fashioned choices of NBA players.
100%.
This morning.
Make sure you check out that Game of
Thrones. Get used to seeing LeBron and Westbrook wearing horrendous sweaters.
He wore a leather red
shirt. I sent it to you. Yeah, no. Terrible. Did you include that Kobe white turtleneck sweater?
No, I haven't got to that. Oh, yeah, no. Don't forget that. Yeah, I'll get that. I got Kobe wearing what looks like a giant mustache.
He needs to at least be playing first before we show that.
No doubt.
All right, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you later.
Yeah, you. Yeah.